The following pod contains spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, Alan, can I tell you a little secret?
I love secrets.
And this stays just between you and me. No one else in the world is going to know this, right?
Not even our listeners.
Yeah. Okay, so I've been going through Instagram, and I'm not really excited at some of the content that I see. You know, I feel like some of the Asian content that I see doesn't really speak to me.
You know, I hear that a lot, but let me tell you something. There's a solution for you. It's called the Universal Asian.
Universal Asian? Tell me more.
Yeah, you know, they have a lot of great articles about Asian culture, prose, poetry, and I'll tell you what, they have really beautiful photos.
Does this place have a community? Because I love poetry. Friends that know me, I'm a huge poet, and oftentimes they don't know it.
Yeah, Raymond, that's actually a really good point. They have a lot of written articles, poetry, prose, photos, art, and video of a variety of topics. And the best part about it, nothing is off limits. You could talk about anything on there.
Wow, really? So I can like just share my whole story and I can read other people's story on there?
Absolutely. There's a huge community. Just join the Universal Asian community today and you can have access to all these amazing content of fabulous artists, writers, authors, everything.
This sounds amazing. What's the website called?
It's called theuniversalasian.com.
Oh yeah.
Hey, if you want to be featured on our show, you can do an intro for us. Just go to realasianpodcast.com/intro and record your intro, and we'll add it to the beginning of our show so you can hear your own voice.
Hey there, rap heads. So this episode is a little bit different. It's a collaboration episode that we did with the Electric Image Express. It's a podcast hosted by our good friend, Sean New. He released the episode actually earlier in the year, and so we're releasing it on our feed right now. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Electric Image Express, guys. Today, I'm really happy to be joined by Raymond Liu and Alan Duong from the Real Asian podcast. Hey, Raymond and Alan.
Hey.
What's up?
These guys are doing some great stuff, and they're covering some, a lot of our related topics, and I've been talking to these guys for a long time. Really, really happy to see their work. They've recently... I've done an episode on Raya, on The Last Dragon. They've had one I really liked on Minari. And, you know, check out, if you like this podcast, check out their works too. But we wanted to get together and do a pod together. So we talked about a few different movies. And Raymond, you brought up Battle Royale. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. Battle Royale.
Classic.
Is a classic for sure. So do you want to maybe tell us a little bit about why you guys wanted to do Battle Royale?
Yeah, you know, personally for me, I remember watching Battle Royale early on. It was one of those movies where I definitely felt like I should not be watching this. I was definitely pretty young, very impressionable, and it was so violent. And also the premise of it, kind of the fact that you're put on this island to kill your classmates. I didn't hate my classmates when I was in school, but I was definitely had those thoughts where I was like, that would be interesting. And I was like, I wonder who I would kill, kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of what kids thought. And it's a little bit morbid. But yeah, I mean, looking back and I was like, I think this is such a classic movie that kind of became such an important cultural moment that kind of reverberated throughout our culture now, as we kind of see and we'll probably talk about.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Battle Royale was just a movie that it was like a forbidden fruit. People just, it was like, you know, it came out in 2000s. I was 10 years old. I really shouldn't have watched it. And I think I watched it when I was like 13, a couple years later. But I remember how visceral it was and how jarring it was to the typical movies that I would see. I never really saw heads being blown off or a guy's head being used as a prop to hold a grenade tossed into a room.
Smart.
And these are some of the, I guess, the aspects of visual storytelling when I was a kid. And I thought to myself, holy fuck, like filmmaking could be very magical and very visceral at the same time. And then tell a very strange but unique story. I just enjoyed it. It was really fun to watch again. But I will say, though, that Amazon's English dub should be burned. Should not exist.
Was that bad, huh?
It was bad.
It's bad. Did you watched it in the original Japanese?
Yeah. I'm a stickler. Kind of. I think dubs are always you know, unless you want to like, go for the hilarity factor, it's kind of hard to watch dub. So,
well, when I was looking up how to watch Battle Royale, I saw that Amazon Prime had it, and I was like, okay, cool, great. I
exactly
have to rent it. And then they only had the English yep version of it.
Really?
And yep, you have to, yeah, you have to pay extra to watch the Japanese version. And I was like, what the F?
And it was so bad.
I know. And what I did was, you know how you can Google search a movie and it'll show you all the different streaming platforms sure that are showing it? I think Vudu was another one. And there was another platform that was free with ads. And I was like, I'm cool with ads. I was like, maybe one of these has to have the Japanese version. And it was all English. And I was like, this is not the same. I didn't like it.
It's not the same.
Are the voice actors, do they sound like they're like 35-year-old men or something like that?
No, they just really, I mean, it's like the stereotype of like how white people think how Japanese people sound, the squealy like, oh my God, Chasuro, what are you doing? It's like, oh, stop. It's ruining it.
Yeah. I think it's because the dialogue in itself is already kind of corny, but you kind of get away with it with the Japanese language, and it kind of plays into just like that imagination factor of it, obviously fictional, but when it turns into English, it just seems corny and goofy, and I was like, it's not the same.
Yeah. Luckily, I was able to watch. I guess I paid a little extra for the Japanese version.
You did the right thing.
Yeah. The tone in Japanese language is so important. And I can see it really getting messed up. But just quick background on the movie. The movie was directed by Kinji Fukasaku. He was a very prolific director. And this was, I think, his 60th movie.
Oh, wow.
It was released at the end of 2000. So about 20 years ago, so it's a good time to come back to this movie. Other like notable movies in Japan that were released at the time was Spirited Away, that came out like 6 months later.
I love that movie.
Yeah, we're all like, really familiar with that movie, Studio Ghibli. It was one of the highest grossing movies of that year, behind Spirited Away and then Pokemon Forever. I guess it was one of the, you know, multiple Pokemon movies that were out. And it has pretty good ratings, you know, Rotten Tomatoes, 88%, Metacritic, 81, budget of $4.5 million. Nominated for a few awards, but nothing, didn't really win anything. But the impact, as you said, Raymond, over time is pretty much unparalleled, honestly, because not only do we have movies that kind of rip it off, Hunger Games, but also like a whole video game genre that is like the biggest genre right now is heavily influenced by Battle Royale. And so what I'm talking about is, of course, like PUBG, which was the original PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. Fortnite is the most popular one. Yeah. Warzone, Apex Legends. There's a whole genre. Do you guys play some of those games?
I actually just downloaded Warzone because I have a PS5.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
It's in the back there. I know, I got really lucky. Actually, I ended up with three PS5s, but I also sold the extra ones for MSRP. But
are these not, gifts for guests on the show? No?
I wish. No, I won them through one through a raffle, and then one through someone gave it to me. So I just sold it for MSRP. But Call of Duty Warfare is exactly like the premise of Battle. You just get dropped in and you just start killing the fuck out of each other. It's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
My first experience with Battle Royale, to me, was actually Royal Rumble, WWE or WWF at the time, Royal Rumble. See, I was a huge wrestling fan when I was younger. So when I saw Royal Rumble was my exposure to like survival of the fittest. And I think that's why we kind of gravitate towards this kind of mode, is that like it's kind of like, you know, one man stands above all else, King of the Hill kind of stuff.
King of the Hill,
I love playing King of the Hill kind of games and stuff like that. So Royal Rumble was like my very first exposure to that type of setup. And then when Battle Royale came out, it kind of put it in a more cinematic version of it. And I was like, holy crap, like, what if this was like a real life kind of thing, you know? So that's my first exposure to it.
I mean, I felt the same way as you, Rabe. Like, I thought about, hey, you know, how would I win the game? You know, would I like hang out right in the entrance and try to, you know, snag a few kills in the beginning, or wait it out till the end? You know, I just like winning games. So I definitely thought a little bit about that. But when I first watched it, it was, again, Alan, as you said, Forbidden Fruit aspect. It was rumored that it was banned in the US. It was banned in Germany for a while, and a bunch of other countries. And I even read the book back in the day. Like, I was total, like, I mentioned this in my Infernal Affairs podcast back in the, you know, mid-2000s when things in Asia were still kind of like, it was just like, they didn't come out at the same time on streaming platforms. So you would maybe come back from a trip to see your, you know, your family or something and like get a bunch of DVDs, and some of them would be like cool stuff you've never seen before. So that was really, Battle Royale was definitely a big part of that experience, in the about 20 years ago. But in the cinematic universe, notably, I think for a lot of people in the US, Tarantino really pushed this movie. He said that this is his favorite movie after he started directing in 92. And he casted Chiaki Kuriyama, who is Kakako, the yellow jumpsuit running girl. She's Gogo Yubari a couple of years later.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can definitely see the influence, like the whole Kill Bill, like over the top violence is kind of the similar to what we got going on here as well.
Wasn't she in The Grudge too, or The Ring? She played a horror movie, Japanese horror movie film as well. Chiaki Kuriyama.
I think so. I am kind of too much of a wimp to watch any horror movies, especially Japanese.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm like, my imagination just, I Wikipedia the plots.
Bro, like the, not the American version of The Grudge, but the Japanese version. That got me so bad. I could not sleep for the longest time. We were thinking about doing horror too.
Yeah,
I would totally do horror movies.
I'll pass on the horror ones. It's okay. You guys can do the horror ones. Horror movies. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I think after the pandemic, I'm like, actually, I'm not that scared of ghosts because, like, who cares? Like, you know, there's a lot of shitty stuff outside.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bigger problems to worry about.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's probably horror movies based off of the coronavirus already being put out.
Yeah,
but like in the movie, what I also really, really liked about Battle Royale is the dark humor that's kind of infused here and there, just like the over the top comic moments that the movie has. Again, like the premise itself is very dark, but then how it's kind of portrayed, it's like, it's just funny. And like the way that the you have like the perverted teen who's just like trying to get laid right before even still trying to get laid in this island. And then she like stabs him in the balls. I was like, oh my God, that's the worst way to go, by the way.
Yeah.
That's the worst way to go. And then like the instructional video, like the Japanese girl on the TV.
Yeah, that was great. Like,
that's so Japanese.
Yeah, that part was pretty funny to me.
It is pretty jarring. And they... when you know, it's naturally you want to compare it to Hunger Games, and Hunger Games like dresses up all the people and it's like quite fantastical. And this one, they're all in their uniforms the whole time.
Right.
It tries to be more gritty in some points, but then also can be quite over the top. But also what I really liked was that a lot of it, when I rewatched it, a lot of it is about the whole middle school, high school dynamics, like the, you know, like the hot girl who gets like ostracized, and like the, the bros that are like a gang member, like they're kind of in a little gang, and all that stuff is just a real important part of the movie. And also, you know, it's going to be a little stereotypical here, but like the girls definitely had more of the whole, playing the group dynamics. Some of them trying to group people together.
Right.
And that one scene where that girl had the poison, that was a great scene.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of tension.
Such great dramatic tension. Just like the poison's there, you know it's there, but no one else does. And then the whole scene unfolds. What about... which character do you guys identify the most with when you were in high school?
In high school?
Identified with the most? Oh, man.
Ray, it's okay. You can say the Kazuo, the bad guy that kills everyone.
The cool guy.
The cool guy.
or the sociopath.
Yeah. I got to say, for me, I just I like the Shinji Mimura types. Like, I always wish I was like the cool, smart guy, but I was never like that cool or that smart. I was probably one of the lackeys that would bring the gasoline or the sulfur to the hacker. But I always none of you guys read any anime or manga, like Shikamaru from Naruto is kind of like that type of character. I've always liked those types.
I gotta say, this may sound like a cop-out answer, but I feel like I really most likely resemble Nanahara, who's the main character.
The main character.
He's not a badass, and yes, he's a protagonist, but he's just trying to find... a way out of this and make everyone happy and be cool with everyone, try to understand everyone. And I was kind of like that in high school, where I was trying to be friends with everyone. I was kind of cool with everyone. And no, but also kind of super awkward with girls. Like, girls frightened me in high school.
I guess I would think that I was, I can't say his name right, but Shogun Kawada.
Oh, the guy with the bandana?
Yeah, only because I thought he was badass, and I thought I was badass.
No, you weren't.
I don't know. It's hard to say, because I was kind of a loser in high school, so I don't know. I don't want to be the guy who got his dick stabbed, but let's just say it's not that one.
Yeah, don't be that guy.
That's a story for another day, Alan.
Yeah. Definitely don't want to share anything like that.
Shuya's an interesting character for sure, because he's like the everyman, right? I mean, he has suffered through a lot, and he's the hope for like the youth, because he saw his dad commit suicide. Right, and his mom left him, and he like had borne all the negativities of the boomer generation, basically. And the whole movie's premise is like, the kids are bad, the kids are rebelling, we got to punish them. And he's this counterpoint, like, hey, you know, actually kids can be positive throughout.
Right.
And it was interesting when the movie was made, that this was a big deal in Japan. I didn't really know about this until I dug a little bit, but I guess there was a string of like, there was killings afterwards. There was a lot of tension about how the younger generation were not as well behaved as the older generation. And obviously in America, Columbine happened, around that same time.
Right.
And that was also a sensitivity for bringing the movie out to America.
Yep.
But then 20 years later, I mean, I don't know. There hasn't been like, I think, a linear progress to that, thankfully.
Yeah, like an actual, you know, it's really interesting that you bring that up, because when this movie came out in the 2000s, there's always, I guess every generation has a battle between the young generation versus the old generation. Obviously, it's always like between the succeeding generation and the preceding generation. It's like, oh, those kids, they don't know any better.
Yeah.
You have like Gen X saying that about, I don't know what the other generation before that.
Baby boomers.
Baby boomers, yeah. But even us, we're like, well, we're millennial generation, and then with Gen Z generation, we're like, oh, those Gen Zers, and like, they don't know any better. So it's always interesting like that. But in the context of like with Battle Royale and the way that violence became glorified, because I think about how the movies that were being put out, like CGI was getting better, and, you know, action movies were getting a lot more sophisticated and more gory. I think Grand Theft Auto was coming out around this time. So then we could like gamify violence in a way. So there was this like obsession with violence that we had. And I think the older generation was like, well, these kids are going, there has to be a cause and effect for all this string of violence. And they just kind of blamed it on like movies and TV and video games.
Totally.
We know now that statistically it's not that at all. I believe so. They came out the study. It's like there's actual no link to that.
Yeah, no, you're right. As a kid, as a big nerd and a gamer, like I was like, oh man, all these politicians trying to bring down video games. Like,
yeah,
you know, these guys are the worst. Public enemy number one for me back in the day. But now it's funny. I think you see boomers, you see like my parents, they're just addicted to screens, and they're just, they have no filter in terms of like, they didn't grow up in that generation of downloading Kazaa like MP3s and it's actually a virus or that. They have no like concept of, oh, maybe that's not a good idea. They're just going straight into, you know, the social media machine. And at least my parents are hooked there. My mom just started a Substack, which I don't know, it's like a blogging platform. Yeah, it was a pandemic like little project I got for her.
Wow.
She used to be an editor back in Taiwan back in the day. So now she texts me every time, like, hey, like, I just hit 800 views, like 900 views. I'm like, all right, like, settle down. So, but
your mom's becoming an influencer.
Boomer influencers. It's a thing that's I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make. Yeah. Yeah. Watch out. Boomer influencer marketing company coming up. But yeah, back to the movie. Also, the director, Kinji, he said that he lost his innocence in World War II.
Mm.
So he was in like, he was a kid. And he was helping with the war effort, like with a factory. And then presumably the Americans, I think, bombed the factory. And like he's kind of buried under his friend's corpses. And that's when he had this awakening. He said that everything we've been taught in school about how Japan was fighting the war to win world peace was a pack of lies. And that was his disillusionment. And this movie, near the end of his life, was kind of like a way to express that disillusionment, which also coupled with the 90s, which happened, you know, the decade right before this movie came out. this was the lost decade for Japan, like economic, you know, the boom of the 80s when Akira came out and Blade Runner, that was like Japan was at its peak. And then when the 90s happened, they really stagnated. And there was like the government didn't have any support for these kids that just were brought into an economy that couldn't support them. And so I think those were also elements that were in the movie itself.
Kind of like the socio-political backdrop that's kind of put in Battle Royale.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I think it's Hunger Games, again, that was released a decade later. And that's a lot more about social media and like fame and like class difference, which is interesting. It's like a little contrast in the issues that were, you know, kind of affecting both cultures at the time.
Yeah, I think going back to this point, like I think both, so I dug deep into this too. So the creators of Hunger Games said that they were not influenced by Battle Royale.
Sure.
But then of course, like, you know, at the end of the day, like both of these entertainment platforms, Hunger Games and Battle Royale, took a lot of influence from Lord of the Flies.
True.
In which you have, you know, kids or, you know, adolescents marooned at a particular area. And then how does society in and of itself play itself out? So obviously, like, there's a construct in Battle Royale that says, like, you know, they are forced to do certain things. They're given the tools to do so. So it's a little bit different from Lord of the Flies, in which they construct their own political structure. But the concept is still there in that, like, the moment there's, like, lawlessness in and of itself, like, chaos ensues. And so with Battle Royale, they just have people fucking killing each other, even though some are trying to play the good guy, etc. And then with Hunger Games, it's almost the same thing, but, you know, it's just dressed up a little bit differently. But the central theme of children marooned somewhere, how does that play out? And how does that reflect society? Those are the core tenets of all three mediums.
It's a perfect reflection, really, just like what society would do if it put in this situation. Real quick, did anyone actually watch Battle Royale 2, the sequel?
Nope.
I did when I was a kid. I don't think it was very good.
I don't think it was very good too. I think I remember I got a chance to watch it and I thought it would be every bit as good as the original or the first one, and it wasn't. Because the plot of it, I think, is Shuya is, he becomes like a rebel and like a leader to overthrow the Japanese government, who's responsible for like setting up this program. The director, I think Kinji, I think it was the director, he passed away before he could finish. I think it was like he shot like one scene of the sequel.
And then his son took over.
And then his son took over. Not that, no, I'm blaming the son or anything like that. It was just different.
Yeah, it's a hard movie to follow.
It is.
I was really hyped like you when I watched, because I just thought, you know, I hoped it would be as interesting and unique. Hard to repeat that kind of unique factor of Battle Royale again.
Yeah.
But when I was thinking a lot about actually Gen Z, you talked about how we looked at the next generation. I would think actually I'm pretty, with what happened in the last 12 months with, a lot of social unrest, a lot of bad things have happened, but there seems to be a real, in my opinion, activist energy with Gen Z that millennial generation doesn't have as much of. So just hypothetically, if it was a Gen Z battle royale, I think they would like find a way to team up and storm and overthrow their military captors and really win the day. That's how I would interpret the remake of Battle Royale.
Gosh, I don't know. I think that generation would not survive at all. As soon as you take away their phones, it's going to be a shit show.
Oh yeah? Well, that's why they got to win back their phones. That's, you know, a lot of motivation there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess the closest thing you could almost like attribute it to is like the Fire Festival fiasco, that they just didn't end up killing each other. But
that was mostly millennials who went, though.
Yeah, I know, that's true.
So
definitely organized by millennials, shitty millennials.
Yep. So we're fucked. Millennials are.
I thought about what it would be like. I fantasized this multiple times.
Fantasized.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Give us your strat.
Fantasized. Oh my goodness.
My strategy. Okay. So
yeah.
Okay. Let's assume that we're in the movie. Okay. I think my strategy would be, first of all, I would not be like the students, kind of like, oh my god, what's going on? But I get it. That's part of the first thing. I would be like, great, here we go. It's game time. I will definitely kind of be more on the quieter side and kind of hide out and let other people kill each other. That would be my strategy. But it depends on which weapon I'm starting with, though, because if I have a pot lid, you're going to have to like find a way to like
make some friends.
Make some friends. Yeah, exactly.
You got to negotiate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Alan.
I wouldn't trust anyone, so I would just hide away, to be completely honest. I couldn't see myself participating in something as crazy as this game. Although, like, I mean, I say that, but then, I mean, I'm trying to put myself in their position, right? What if I was gassed, I woke up, and then my eighth grade teacher was like, you're going to kill each other off. I would first be bewildered by this and think to myself, there's no fucking way. And then I see like a knife being thrown at my classmate's head, then I'm like, oh, okay, maybe this is pretty legit.
Oh, maybe this is real.
My eighth grade teacher apparently is a great knife thrower. I was like, what?
Yeah, okay, oh. Then if that's the case, then I would play the classic Counter-Strike strategy, which is to camp somewhere, but then move every so slightly.
Oh, God, you're a camper?
Hell yeah, I would. I mean, there's no such thing as a respawn point, so yeah,
there's
I'm trying to win.
You don't get any points for killing the most people. You get the points for surviving.
Exactly. There's no style points here. It's survival points.
Yeah.
And camping wins.
And I like how there's a convenient like house that's on this island, too.
There, yeah, there's like a clinic. There's... I had a couple notes I put down for strategies. First, if you could have convinced a couple of your friends, like, storm the troopers with the assault rifles, because it's like they're in a real small place and it would be really chaotic if they all could collaborate. Obviously, it's probably not going to happen. They're all like, scared eighth graders.
The challenge of that, though, is that they could turn on your neck beeper.
Okay, so when the first guy dies and he has a neck beeper, I would have like ran towards the teacher and like, oh, well, at least I'll take you out with me.
Someone has to sacrifice themselves.
You know,
I see.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
I mean, that requires a lot more than I thought about. But they knew the kids knew that they knew that someone could have been picked, so they should have developed strategies beforehand. Obviously, like not prepared. But I would check my weapon first, and then if I had a weapon that could, you know, safely kill a couple of people, I'd probably like camp out in the beginning, take out a couple of people, take their like weapons with me, and then like try to hide out. I think that would be my strat. Depends on what I have.
I think it was interesting the difference of weapons and that they had between the novel and the manga and the film. And I read that Shuya originally had an army knife, and Noriko had a boomerang, but then they kind of downgraded them. They nerfed them in the movie
significantly.
what did Noriko have? I forgot.
I think it was binoculars.
Actually, I think binoculars is better than boomerang. Can you throw a boomerang? I couldn't hit anyone with a boomerang.
Exactly. Binoculars, you can scope it out.
Yeah.
It wouldn't kill anyone. It would just disarm in someone. But again, you would have to be really good with the boomerang to be efficient with it.
Oh yeah.
I've thrown a boomerang before. That shit's hard. It does not fly back to you.
I would probably like try it and it would fall into a crevice or like some like off a cliff and I'd just be without a weapon.
I also found that I guess in 1997, it was the Japan Horror Fiction Awards. It was submitted there, it was entered there, but eventually rejected in the final round due to concerns over its depictions of students killing each other.
Incredible.
But then in 1999, the novel became a surprise bestseller. You know, again, I think it reinforces that it's almost kind of like the Straight Outta Compton album, where because the government and these institutions are deeming it as like, you should not watch this, you should not listen to this, you should not have this, you just want it even more. You're like, oh, really? The government is saying I should?
Yeah.
Like, I want to watch it now.
It's called the Streisand effect. It's a social phenomenon that occurs when there's an attempt to hide or remove or censor information. It has the unintended consequence of further publicizing the information, often via the internet. So there's an official name to it, the Streisand effect.
And named after Barbara Streisand?
Yeah. Why is it named Streisand?
You know, I don't know the origins of that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Barbara Streisand, the forbidden music.
We all want to be Barbara Streisand.
Oh, you know what? It is. The term alludes to Barbara Streisand, who in 2003 had sued photographer Kenneth Edelman and Pictopedia.com for violation of privacy. So basically, it looks like there was a photo of her house and she tried to hide it. But because her attempt to hide it publicized even further. So there's a name to it now.
It's like, ooh, what are you trying to hide there, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the best marketing, is just getting banned by the government.
Yeah. Like we said in the Real Asian Podcast episode, I think for Mulan, any or any marketing, or any marketing is good marketing. So even if it's bad, it doesn't matter because people hear about it and they're like, oh, what the fuck is it? Gotta check it out.
For sure.
Hey folks, let me tell you about my good friend, Annie. She loves the tradition of having a shared meal with her family, enjoying some of her favorite dishes. Problem is, many of the foods she loves doesn't fit her plant-based diet. That's why she started Annie's Tea Cakes. She's on a mission to provide plant-based Chinese food options to the world so that she, and folks like you, can enjoy your favorite traditional snacks, all while participating in a more regenerative and sustainable food system. Sounds like a win-win to me. Go to annie'steacakes.com right now to learn how to order. And follow Annie's Tea Cakes on Instagram. That's at Annie's Tea Cakes, spelled A-N-N-I-E.
Experiences by K is a Bay Area luxury picnic business that can be set up just about anywhere, from the beach, the park, your backyard, and more. Simply go to the website, book your picnic, show up, and enjoy great times with your friends. The best part? It's worry-free. Great for birthdays, anniversaries, proposals, you name it. Go to experiencesbyk.com right now for your upcoming occasion and check out Experiences by K on Instagram at Experiences by K.
And now, back to the show.
Yeah, well, then I think why don't we transition into this game that I want to play. I always want to draft stuff. That's like anyone who knows me, they know that like this is a weird obsession.
You play fantasy football?
Oh yeah. Fantasy football 2020 champion right here.
Are you serious? Oh, man, nice. This year fucked me up.
I just came into the year just being like, I want to just trade as much as possible. I don't care about winning because I know I'm going to get hit by the COVID eventually. Mm-hmm. And eventually I lucked into, you know, the right guys, I guess.
Man.
Before we do into the draft, I did wonder this. If it came down to you and your best friend in high school, would you kill him or her? Just you two. That's it.
Well,
I'd kill myself. I couldn't do it.
Wow. Such a friend.
It would be interesting because my, I don't know. It's a tough one. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I could do it.
Well, okay. Well, before you answer that, are you still friends with that friend?
Yeah. Steven, if you're here listening to this, you know, I got your back. Maybe.
He'll understand.
I think I would, and that's not to say we don't have a great friendship. It's only because I think Kevin, so my best friend, his name's Kevin, he's getting married soon, and I'm his best man. I might not be after if he hears this, but I think I would because he would be understanding of the situation. But it depends. I think if we want fairly, like if it was just us two and we've tried everything else, we would engage in combat. Girlfriend, I don't know. It depends on which girlfriend.
But it has to be girlfriend in high school, right? So,
oh man, my sim self in high school would definitely have killed myself for any girlfriend back then. That's definitely.
If it was a girlfriend in high school, I would totally. I would respect to her, but that ship has sailed.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah,
I have loyalty to a little. My best friend in high school, because I got expelled from high school and he gave me, yeah. So he gave a speech afterwards trying to defend me and be like, hey, like this wasn't fair. So I had to give him back for that. Just, you know, he put his academic life on the line for me.
Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah. I didn't do anything crazy. I cheated on an exam. It wasn't like I knifed someone or, you know, then I would be more into battle royale. That's the reason why I picked battle royale.
Cheating on an exam is almost the same thing in the Asian culture. So
You might as well have stabbed someone.
Yeah. Probably been more, you know, got off better in certain
Asian cultures. It's like, you cheated. How fucking dare you? But you stabbed someone. They're like, hey, at least you're still doing well in school, right?
Yeah. He probably deserved it. You know,
it's like, wait, let me look at your report card. Okay. You're good. It kind of reminded me of, you know, if like your best friend or your family member got bit by a zombie, like would you kill them off?
Easily.
Yeah, that's easy. I think I'd definitely do that.
And I would expect the same from them as well. So if I got bit by a zombie, I want them to kill me.
Or use me as a defense mechanism against other, that's too much Walking Dead though. But no, yeah, I mean, What about you? I mean, Ray, would you want to kill your best Kevin? Would Kevin, you know, get the axe? Would he be zombified?
Again, I think he would understand. He would understand. Well, he would be more upset of himself for being able to be bit by a zombie.
Oh, yeah.
But see, I would want that of my friends too. Like, if I got bit, I'd be like, don't try to keep me alive. You know, shoot me, kill me. But I would also be really upset if I was the very first person to be bit by a zombie. Like, damn it. Like, I didn't even get a chance to, like, understand the situation, you know, if I was the first person or the first bit victim.
I think the only gray area is if someone else tells the group, like, hey, you've been bit. And then you're like, no, I haven't bit yet. You know, that's like, then you get into a little bit of a gray area.
That's what happened in 28 Days Later. I remember in the early scenes, like the protagonist, like a zombie fell on him or an infected fell on him. And then like group caught in. They're like, did you get fucking bit? He's like, no, it's just people's blood. They're like, did you get fucking bit? It creates a lot of paranoia when there's zombies involved. But hopefully that doesn't actually happen in the future.
Yeah, it does. But like relating back to Battle Royale, like how what the dynamics that is kind of exposed, like the bullies get a chance to bully more, I guess, but the bullied, like Mitsuko, get a chance to kind of get even with their classmates. Yeah. It's like, if you had an opportunity to like get even with your bullies, like, would you take it? And then there's like friendships who like get to betray each other and all these things. So it does have like some social commentary on it as well.
It's almost like how the internet allowed people who were racist to become even more racist, right? Because if you're a racist or you're an asshole and you have the veil of anonymity, such as the internet, providing you the protection, then you're able to be fully fledged racist. Like, you'll see people, keyboard warriors, type out the most visceral things.
YouTube comments.
And then, but then if you meet them in person, like most of the times you meet them in person, they would never, ever say those things to someone's face. But because the internet provides them that source of anonymity, they're allowed to speak, or they're allowed to be as hateful as they truly are. But then, of course, like in this movie, because there's no laws, you have a weapon that could eliminate the other person. You're allowed to be like, you could have some situation where a friend would be like, hey, I thought we were best friends. And then you could turn back and say, yeah, well, you fucked my ex-boyfriend. Fuck you. And I'm killing you. So like, though, you don't have to hide your true feelings anymore when you have the power in your own hands.
It's like, what would you really, if you were really in that situation, like all human courtesy and social norms are kind of go out the window.
It's like the purge.
Yeah. And it's like, and knowing that you have to do that in order to survive.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, if you're thinking something, you know, someone else should be probably is thinking it as well, you know, so that's definitely the paranoia aspect is definitely a big part of that. Yeah. I don't know. Teamwork is still, it's important until the end. And it's, I don't know, it's a little, there's a lot of game theory involved about that, but.
Right. Like, if you team up early, but then knowing that there can only be one.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too. It messes with your mind, because even if you find someone who's like, okay, let's agree to like team up for now. But then knowing as you get closer, you're like, okay, well, when is this person going to stab me in the back?
This is actually related back to the game. Like, so Warzone, there's a single, like, one, you know, a mode where you're just by yourself.
Yeah.
And then there's videos of people online that just, like, they try to communicate with, like, heart tags to, like, tell people, hey, like, we're friends and let's hang out together. Mm-hmm. And so that, which I always think is a funny little dynamic that people would try to do that.
Is Warzone is Call of Duty?
Yeah, Warzone is Call of Duty. Yeah,
and it's free.
Yeah.
Oh. So it's basically Call of Duty's version of Fortnite. Like, that's the only mode?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. It's like it's like Call of Duty Black Ops or Call of Duty Modern Warfare online. It's just that it's a battle royale session where you just go into a lobby and then you are in a room. Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like 130 players, right?
Holy shit.
I think there's like a couple modes, yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, that was like our pandemic activity for me and my friends in the first couple months. It's like a lot of, where we dropping boys.
I got tired of it quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it also sucks when, okay, it's actually better to be killed off very quickly because you're like, okay, I can just start another game. But it sucks when you're like the top 10 and then you're like, oh my God, I was so close. And then you get killed off, right?
Well, there's like an element where you can like get bought back in the game. So then like you wait a lot. If you're bad, you just like wait a lot and watch your friends like do stuff. And then they might buy you back and you die again. So that's like another element to that game.
But that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a fun little genre.
I like
it. You know, I think there's like, they do a lot of different, there's like Fall Guys. If you ever played Fall Guys, it's like a party game battle royale. So it's like, you know, actually relative to this movie, you know, the Takashi Kitano, or the teacher guy, he's like a really famous actor.
Yeah.
And he hosted like a Takashi's Castle, like that whole, like, it's like an obstacle course game. So basically this other game, Fall Guys, is like an obstacle course battle royale where it's like you just survive until the end and it's like, you know, like fun.
Oh, interesting.
Games. Yeah. So you got a lot of runway with this battle royale genre.
I mean, there's so many things that you could do. I mean, it's endless. I'm all for it, though. I would love to participate in it.
That's it's the conclusion of the podcast.
But not actual killing people, but like a game where it's like survival of the fittest kind of thing.
They should do like battle royale, like paintball matches, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think that'd be pretty fun, like a bachelor party thing.
I dig it.
Maybe you should organize that for Kevin's bachelor party.
I should. Like on an island, buy out an island.
Didn't he play paintball too, Raymond?
Yeah, we played paintball a few times. There's some legit paintball arenas, I think in Sanol, which is like an hour north of San Francisco. So it's like in the inland and stuff like that. But be hard to kind of get to, but it would be really fun. But also those who participate in those type of paintball games are like experts. Like they have all their gear, they practice shooting, and they would be able to hit you from like miles away. So I would definitely not be prepared for it.
No, I've seen some of these people. They're the guys who play military. I call them Meal Time 6 instead of SEAL or Meal Team 6. These are the individuals who like dress up as if they're military and then act super hardcore. But they are really good at these games. Like I've seen them play airsoft and they're legit good. It's kind of wild though.
Well, here's the thing. Look, before the pandemic, we had a mass shooting problem. Maybe we just need to gather all these mass shooters and just like stick them on a paintball island and be like, look, if you need to shoot people, just take it out on there. Don't take it out on civilians kind of thing.
Oh, I see. So you want the purge to be a real thing. It sounds like.
Televise it, make some money off of it. Sponsored by Allstate.
Yeah,
exactly. You're in good hands now.
Yeah. Good murderous hands.
Yeah.
Speaking of good murderous hands, should we get to this draft?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
So here's the draft format. We're going to go in order. If listeners, you don't know what a draft is, we just pick in succession. Here's the three criteria. One weapon, one character that is from the Battle Royale movie, and one character from one of the other Asian movies that we've covered in our podcasts. And obviously the objective is for your team of two to survive. Does that make sense?
Got it. And how many rounds are we doing? How many? Just one round through, or?
I guess we just do three rounds, right? Because we have three criteria, right?
Yeah.
How about we can just do Alan goes first, then Ray, and then I'll go last.
Why does he get first round pick?
I'm telling you, I'm gonna win this. Okay, so just to reiterate again, it's a choice of weapon that's from the movie, a person that's from the movie, and then an Asian American or an Asian character from the larger Asian cultural show.
Yeah. Nope, no powers though. Like no like superpowers or something like that. So
okay.
Are we going fictional or non-fictional?
Well, I mean they're all fictional.
I meant live action or animation.
I think we can go either as long as you just have no like I just don't think superpowers make it kind of unfair.
Right.
Yeah, they can't have the ability to shoot fucking lasers out of their hands. That'd be a little unfair.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so I'm gonna start off. The first weapon I would choose is the Kitana. The first person I would choose that's from the larger universe. Oh,
I think we just go one thing at a time. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so is it weapon or person? Okay, if that's the case, then I would do, I'll choose the Kitana.
Okay. I think you got like a combo lined up is what I'm thinking.
I've been playing fantasy football for freaking years, so I strategize.
positional advantage. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So if Alan's got the Kitana, I have that on my list, but. It wasn't a high pick. I'm going to have to go with the GPS.
Oh, dude, that was my pick. Oh, my God. I thought I could just... Damn, I was like, okay, I'll wait, save that one. No one's going to pick the GPS. Oh, my God.
Nah, the GPS. Knowledge is power. That's important.
Now I'm shook. What do I got here?
Okay. Amazing.
Okay. I'm going to pick the Kevlar. The Kevlar armor.
Okay, I'm going defense.
Yeah, going defense, you know, it's the only kind of armor in the game that's like pretty legit. No one expects it. You can hide it. So
True.
That's my strategy. And then I got to pick a character. I am going to pick a Battle Royale character. And I'm just going to go with Shogo. I mean, Shogo Kawada, he's played it before.
Mm.
He's apparently his dad's a chef and a medic, and he can be a hacker as well. He's altruistic. He's willing to work with a team. Happy to pick Shogo.
Okay. All right. And then are we going cycle or are we
it's
going
a, it's a snake draft, so that means you. That means you next, Simon.
So me? Yeah. Okay. So we're going Battle Royale character, right? Okay, so.
You can go either. I mean, you can pick a non-Battle Royale character too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I'm going to go with John Wick.
John Wick. Okay. All right.
He's Asian.
Yeah, that's true. I'm looking forward to the John Wick episode. I'm excited for that one.
He's Asian.
That's a good one.
Keanu's Asian.
That was going to be my guy.
John Wick, dude, he could do it all.
Oh, shit.
Now, with the GPS, though, that's why I'm kind of struggling. Like, what can John Wick do with the GPS? I'm sure a lot. But
at least kill 5 people with the GPS. Yeah.
Damn, I was going to say John Wick, but I guess I can't say Neo because he's the fucking one. So,
and he's the same guy.
You could pick Neo without any of the powers, I guess.
No, never mind. He's a little bitch then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So given that this is my last choice, so the first person, and it's going to snake back to me. So I'll pick a person that's in the movie. I will pick I forgot his name already. But anyways, the psychotic guy, the guy with the
fro. Oh, Kazuo?
Yeah.
Kazuo Kiriyama?
Yep. I will choose him. And then snake
Alan,
back.
Do you remember when we first watched Battle Royale where we would pause at the scene when he got tasered?
Oh, yeah, when he gets tasered, he's like,
and he makes that face. He makes the silliest. I don't know. Okay, so John, I don't know if you know this already. Me and Alan grew up together. We're cousins. But when we watched Battle Royale together, and for some reason, anytime we watched the movie, we would pause
right when he gets tasered.
At the scene where he got tasered, and you can watch it back. But he has this face that is just fucking hilarious. I don't know why. And we were younger, and we were just like cracking up. And he just
gotta
like,
make that into a meme.
it's a quick cut because I watched it again. I could not stop laughing. Raymond, I was watching it last night, and I kept fucking replaying it. Yeah. What happens is that like he is a girl in the room with the water, and then he has her because he shoots her, and then she turns around and tases him, and then he's surprised at first, and then you see it connecting, and then the quick, super quick scene is him just like. Yeah,
I took a picture of it.
One quickly, the scene where he's like, it's one of the most iconic scenes I remember from the movie is when he's in the coastline and like the bullies surround him.
Oh yeah, yep.
And they're like, "You're not so tough, are you?" Like, you know, transfer kid. And then he just like takes the Uzi and just cuts them all down. I was like, it's a great intro to the character.
Yep,
it is. Actually, I was kind of debating whether to pick him too because you know he's got that killer instinct.
Yeah, but you got John Wick.
Yeah, you got John Wick.
That's true.
I think you're good with the killers.
John Wick is a little calculated and skilled.
John Wick is like picking like Aaron Rodgers in like 2012, you know?
Yeah.
For the fantasy draft. Okay, all right. So my last character, if it can't be John Wick, I'm choosing Li Mu Bai from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Nice.
Oh,
wow.
Nice.
Okay. Because he's good with the sword.
Yeah, there you go. There's your combo.
There it is.
Nice. Okay. I think I'm going to go with the movie character. I'm going to go with Mitsuko. I think she's kind of like the female Kiriyama. She's kind of crazy.
She's great.
And she's, you know, kind of cute too. So you can like get seduced by her and then she stabs you right in the back.
I really liked her. I mean, like she racked up the second most body count and she had no experience. Kazuo had done it before and she's just like, this is my jam. This is like, I was born for this.
All right. And you kind of like, empathize with her a little bit because she was bullied and she was ostracized and you know, so I was like, yeah, well that's what happens, you know?
And the pedophile scene, that was real creepy. That was a real
that was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, I forgot that scene happened.
Me too.
Yeah. All right, John.
Yeah. So my last character, my last pick is gonna be someone from outside the movie. And that would be Inspector Tequila from Hard Boiled. He's basically, you know, Cantonese John Wick. And, you know, just need to get him a gun. I don't think he even needs a gun, honestly, but he's quite the badass.
Okay.
So that's my guy.
Wait, so are we going, we have our two characters. Should we do another weapons round?
All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that way we can So they each have a weapon?
Yeah, I mean, then I'm just gonna give Tequila a shotgun and just call it a day.
Okay.
I mean,
so I have the GPS. I'm gonna go with the sickle.
Okay.
The thing that Mitsuko had.
All right. Style points. That's a lot of style points with Mitsuko.
Yeah.
I guess I can't say the Green Destiny from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. So I will get the the pot lid.
What?
The pot lid.
Because Li Mu Bai can figure something out with that. He can shape it with a rock to turn it into a sword.
Okay. Or I guess you can sharpen it.
He can sharpen it and he can use it because he's already a master with all types of weapons. So he could use that to like grab someone's weapon and then, you know, get that weapon.
It's a shiny lid too. You could blind someone with the light.
Exactly.
Right? Or like communicate to Kazuo, like using...
You use as a hat too to block from the rain.
When it's raining, yeah. That's totally.
All right. So I think my strategy would be, so I have John Wick and Mitsuko, GPS and sickle. So I'm going, the reason why my combo is that is because I'm going stealthy. So we're landing on an island. Am I with them, by the way? I don't know. Or is this...
No. You're the coach.
I'm just coaching. I'm the coach.
You're coaching,
okay.
Yeah.
So... They get on the eye. I'm going to tell them stealth attacks only. So, you know, Mitsuko's got the sickle, so she's going to stealth kill everyone. And John Wick's got the GPS. But I would say I would go for your guy first, Sean, because you have the shotgun. Because then John Wick can be equipped with a weapon, and then he should be pretty good after that. The problem that I run into is that you have the bulletproof vest.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why I need Mitsuko.
Yeah, I mean, I just went for sheer power, I guess, you know? Like, just get the guy with the best ability and give him good defense, because you'll pick up guns on the way if you survive long enough. And I'd rather have another chance of him, like, surviving a bullet shot because someone didn't know he had an armor rather than, like, having another gun. So... and then I kind of redundancy. I mean, Shogo is like obviously a lesser version of Tequila, but they're in kind of the same vein and they can work together. So I would just tell them to try to stay low, pick up some of the like losers that like want to be teammates as bullet shields, like Shogo does. You know, Shogo's are you guys, what's your weapon? And then he's like, they're like a blade and like binoculars. It's like, okay, come with me. Like, you can be my bullet shield.
My strategy is pretty simple. The
spray and pray.
Spray and pray. You have the individual, the crazy individual who's out there just, you know, can very easily subdue lesser people and then get their weapons. And then you have Li Mu Bai with the katana fucking shit up. And a body armor doesn't do anything against that because it showed that a sword can just cut someone's head off. So
true.
Did you guys consider team chemistry though? Because that's the thing that I was thinking. Because I don't know if Mitsuko would go well with John Wick.
These people would not go well together.
I would have picked Mitsuko if I didn't do team chemistry, because I really like her kind of like conniving character.
Exactly. I think she's better solo. Now I'm kind of like, she may be that diva wide receiver.
Definitely. She's definitely like a Terrell Owens type. Antonio Brown, you know.
Chad Ocho Cinco.
She'd be Ocho Cinco.
Ocho Cinco.
Yeah.
But you know,
always
you have
wanting all the kills.
You have John Wick, and he can just carry. Yeah, he's like Alan said, 2012 Aaron Rodgers, Christian McCaffrey, last couple of years.
Oh, Christian McCaffrey, jeez. No, Kyler Murray this past season, man.
Yeah, well, those are our teams. Everyone listening, let us know who you would take and who you think would survive. Do you guys have anything else, concluding thoughts you wanted to wrap up the podcast with?
I think a few notable mentions that I just wanted to throw out in terms of characters. I had Yip Man on there from Ip Man.
Yeah. Okay.
And then also Ting, Tony Jaa from Ang Bak.
I had Bruce Lee, obviously. Actually Derek from Better Luck Tomorrow, because he's like a real like manipulator. Like all he does is like talk. If you get him to talk to you a little bit, you'll just join his team.
Yeah.
And he'll manipulate you. So that was my dark horse.
Oh, man. I got a couple. I got Jackie, I Don't Want No Trouble, Chan. And then obviously I had Neo, but that doesn't count. And then the other third person was going to be Goku. I call him, you know, he's Asian.
He's definitely, he's all about powers. Yeah.
Well, you
Goku just takes the island and just throws it into space. Exactly. And it's just like, okay, I'm done. And then the collar explodes and he's like, what happened?
I just need him to say something like, and this is to go even further beyond.
And then everyone would know where he is because he's like raging out. It's like, okay, well, we know where Goku is.
Just don't go towards the light. Don't go towards the flashing guy with the blonde hair. Just leave him alone.
Oh, man.
He would do something to disqualify himself, I think, though.
He would just eat everything instead of fighting.
Yeah. Or like leave the island, forget about it, and just be like, oh, yeah, I guess I lost.
Yeah, he's like, I can just fly off.
I thought the poison was actually an interesting one, too.
Oh, it's yeah, you know what?
It's a real sly tactic.
Mm-hmm. That's a sly tactic, especially if, like, you have those who want to try to, like, live and come back to, like, living standards.
Right.
Yeah.
Impractical, though, because you have to place it into something for them to eat.
Yeah. Yeah, impractical.
Not as immediate as, like, a knife.
I think Mitsuko could have done something with the poisons up and, like, just eat some of this first before, you know, you sleep with me and then they're gone. Yeah.
Man.
All right, guys. Well, where can we find you? All podcasts, you know, platforms, right?
Yeah. Follow us on Real Asian Podcasts. That's REEL Asian Podcasts. And then, of course, realasianpodcast.com/support. And then, of course, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Spotify.
Awesome.
Well, and then also for all of our Real Asian listeners, go check out Sean's podcast, Electric Image Express. Definitely a dope podcast. I'm so grateful to just finally ask for talking movie and just have fun with it. I think that was what I was looking forward to.
Yeah, this is real fun. Thanks for the shout out. Appreciate everything you guys are doing. And hopefully we, you know, do another episode in the near future.
All righty. Take care, Sean.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean.
All right. Later.
Hey, you. If you've been following our show so far, I want to thank you. But you know what? In order for us to keep the show going, we're going to need your patronage. It'll ensure we continue to bring the best content possible, but only if you're able to. Go to realasianpodcast.com/support.